Hi, my name is Don Dubrow, and I am in Russia along with my wife, who is now in Fairview, Pennsylvania, with my dad and my stepmom. Greetings from her and from our little daughter, Lola. Thank you very, very much for your prayers for them. I ask them from hearing what they've done, what was said before, let me get a back up and thank you very, very much for the prayers for Natasha after what we had found out that the problems with the first sonogram when they said that our baby was going to have enlarged ventricles and that it was in bad shape and that and for your prayers that now that finding out that it's not the case and that our little one is doing fine. The mentality in Russia is if there's problems, abort. If it looks like there's going to be any mental type of problem, abort. If there's any type of sickness, abort. That's why in Russia the mortality rate is very high. It's because they just kill them. They just don't let them live. Part of the reason they just don't have any capability of taking care of children like that. And they just refuse to set up any type of government, don't have medication or anything for any type of deformities or mental illnesses. So the easiest way, and with the communist mind of thinking, that's the easiest thing to do is just try again. And that's what Natasha was told after the diagnosis. Her gynecologist said, well, we'll just tear up the paperwork. We'll do one more if you want to. We can send you off to Stavropol and they can confirm this if you want, but just abort and try again. And it really disheartened Natasha, who has been in the communist mindset all of her life, that this was something that she didn't want really to do. She wanted to have the baby, but then two, she didn't want to live in Russia if we were going to have a baby that was going to have some type of problem because there was just no way of taking care of it. So thank you very much for the prayers. When we got back to the States, we had a sonogram done as soon as we got back, within a couple of days after we got back home. The person that did the sonogram said he misdiagnosed the problem, that it really wasn't ventricles that he was seeing, and that the baby is fine. So praise the Lord for that. But what makes the saddens my heart is how many babies that are in perfect condition have been killed. And this is the mindset of the people. That's what communism has done to them, has just taken anything that is worthy out of them for themselves, even for the life of children, that communism has done some terrible things to people. But we do praise God for the health and for the steadfastness of her to hang in there, though even coming back to the States, she had, before we had the sonogram, she had knitted a couple of things for the baby and was really excited about the little hat that she made and the little dress that she had made. And then after finding that out, she just left everything behind in the States and she was depressed coming over here. And after that sonogram, she's doing great. So thank you for that. And then again, for the problem that I caused with Lola, thank you very much for the prayers on that. I called Brother Kate earlier about this, and I think he brought it to church, and thank you for the prayers. We were at a picnic last Sunday, and I was taking Lola on a rope swing, swinging her back and forth, and she said she was holding on very well, so I let go, and she went forward and did a head dive right into a big tree root and was knocked out, stopped breathing, and the big scare for that and getting her going again, getting to the hospital and finding out that the neck was okay, and the brain was okay when they did the CAT scan, just a concussion, and keeping an eye on her for a couple of days, and now she's as if nothing happened. So thank you very much for the prayers on that. Thank you very much for your prayers for us while we're in Russia and doing the ministry there. Prior to coming to last year's conference, I was seeing the work that we were doing as being a solid work, the one-on-one sharing with people, getting the Bible studies going, looking forward to a correspondence course, getting started and reaching the people through the media and discipling them through the Bible correspondence courses, and then having all last year's missionary conference centering around preaching, street preaching, and getting out. Thank you, brother, for coming into Russia and trying doing that for us, but it looks like you didn't quite make it. I've just seen somebody else give it a try before I did. I want to be able to stay there for a while and continue to minister. So for visitors, you could have done it and then been thrown out, and then I would have known what to do, but thanks for not coming. Appreciate that. So it's somewhat been a discouraging year because of that, because the thought of how in a communist run, it's still with the communist mindset, still we're, even now, the problems that we're having in Russia is that the Russian Orthodox Church wants to take complete control of the religious training and education of the people. Missionaries are not being allowed to return that are coming in as missionaries. The extensions being denied, they're being told to leave the country. Just how far do I take in a public so I can be able to stay there and minister and still do work without having myself thrown out of the country? So there was a battle back and forth. How should I do this? And it was a very tough and discouraging year because of thinking of all these things. So thank you for your prayers and the encouragement that we have, God. It's still tough being just the only ones there, though there are some Americans still from the commission in the area, and we get together every once in a while and share. But being by yourself is, I see more of how important it is to go two by two, and praise the Lord that the two of you guys are going to Poland together to do a ministry. So it is important. Anybody interested in coming to Russia? Pray about it. With the situation that we're not really sure how much longer the doors are going to stay open. The way we understand, I've heard that it was Yeltsin who has really been supportive of missionaries being in the country, allowing the doors to stay open. Zhevernowski, who should be in a straitjacket in the sane asylum. I hope this is not going to go on too public. But, I may not be able to get back into the country, but he has a strong following. And he has some weird ideas of what he wants to do. So we're not sure how much longer the doors are going to remain open. There's supposed to be an election in June of next year to a presidential election. Yeltsin is starting to lose favoritism badly because of the economic situation. When I first got into the country, we can back a little bit further. I'm not sure how much you know about the economy in Russia. Under communism, $1 equaled about 60 kopeck, which is about 60 cents, 60 to 80 cents. People were able, my in-law was a full colonel in the army, in charge of a whole battalion, whatever it was, in Kislovodsk. He was making about 500 rubles a month and was living as a king, like a king. He would be able to take his family on vacations all the time, not worrying about anything. And basically, it's the same with a lot of the Russian people. The city that we're living in used to be a big resort area. Many what they call sanatoriums, which are like health spas. There's a lot of mineral water in the area that we're in. They would come there for their vacations to get, if they had heart problems, they would go to a certain sanatorium that worked primarily with heart conditions, and they do their exercises, and then they take their vacation and have a good time, partly paid by themselves, and then their companies that they work for would also subsidize and pay the rest of it. When I first got into the country, the ruble rate had changed to 1,000, right about 900 to 1,000 rubles to a dollar. Natasha used to say that 10 eggs were, the small eggs were 80 kopeck, a large egg would be 1 ruble for 10 eggs. Now it's 3,000 rubles for 10 eggs. 80% or so of the sanatoriums are closed because people can't afford now to come down there for their vacation. Many of the businesses have closed because they cannot keep up with the demands and the high cost of materials and producing things. So financially, the country, the freedom, which the people do like, they have tried to come out of the dark ages into a 20th century economy, world market, and compete in it, and not been able to do it because they were so far behind. So people have gone in and said, you can't expect to get where we're at in 2 years. It took us a long time, but it's still, the demands are right there. Not only economical problems, but the Russian mafia, as well as the Georgian mafia, as well as the Armenian mafia, as well as all the other countries' mafia, have got their fingers in everything. The farmer who produces the wheat has a mafia individual before he he can get it out of there into the mill that he has to pay. Before the grain can leave, the flour can leave the mill, there's a mafia man in between there taking money before it gets to the next man. And before that man can sell it to somebody else, there's another individual right there making sure that he gets his cut. So this is another thing that has caused a massive inflation within Russia. The heroes of the young children are those who are able to drive the big Mercedes-Benz, the big BMWs, who are all mafia. And this is what the kids have to look up to right now in Russia. They have no other role models. And it's really, really sad. There's a big work to be done. In the schools, if a teacher knows that a student's parents are rich, they will purposely lower the grades of that student. The parents will come in, they do their talking, they pay their money, the student starts to get their grades. When Natasha went to school under communism for her university, if somebody wasn't cutting the mustard, they were kicked out of school and they were found another place to work or to go to school. Only a certain, it was like 30 people in her class at the start. When she graduated, there was only 12. They were guaranteed jobs under communism. Once they finished school, they were guaranteed to go to work at a certain place. They were not given a choice. They were told where they're going to work at least for 5 years. After that, they could look around and find some place to work. But now, there's no guarantees of jobs. There are educators who are out of work, or brilliant scientists that are out of work. There are people now buying doctor's degrees and putting a plaque up on the wall and calling themselves doctors. This is some of the great things that the people that I know are fearing most. The quality of, if you want to call it quality, that they had before is even going down further. So Russia is in a sad, sad state of affairs right now. So please pray for them. Please pray for the upcoming election, that a godly man would be able to come in and do something. I have been told that there is Christians in the Duma, and they've formed a Christian coalition, and they're trying to do something in their parliament. But they need prayers. That country is probably very, very close to a civil war. And many of the people are wishing for the leeks and onions again of Egypt, and willing probably to go and pay for that in comparison to the freedom that they had for the security. Vasily, who is running our Bible correspondence course for us while we're here, we've sat down and talked, and he said, communism has never, never trained us to be able to put and to function under freedom, because everything was taken care of for them. From birth to death, they were taken care of. They were told what to do, but they were guaranteed security. And they had security. And then all this has been dropped out from underneath them. There are towns that are almost 100% unemployment because the businesses cannot stay open. And the people are groping and they're searching. So they need your prayers. To give you an idea right now of the pay, the minimum wage which you're looking at increasing is 20,000 rubles a month. Not very many people, I understand, get that basic 20,000. It's, if you've gotten so much education, it's 20,000 times two. If you've worked for so many years, it may be 20,000 times three. So that is the basis from the multiples that people get. A kilo of meat costs 18,000 rubles. A loaf of bread, the smallest loaves of bread now are 1,200 rubles. So if a person is getting that minimum wage, that is their wage almost spent. And that doesn't take anything into account for the house that they're living in, to pay any of the expenses of the house, the rate of electricity. There's the constant increase of the multiples of the charge for each unit of electricity, and it's just going skyrocket. People pay for 24 hours of hot water, and they have maybe 6 hours in the day, or they have 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours in the afternoon for having water. This past winter, we got such a bad drought in the city that we're in. We had cold water once every 3 days. And that's all we had for our whole winter, starting in Greece about November. So I learned to appreciate cold showers and having some nice warm water every once in a while whenever we would boil it to try to do something. But Russia's in a bad state of condition, so please pray for them. The scriptures that are on my, I think that's pretty much what I had down here. Well, the ministry. We have right about 5,000 people that have either through the initial writing letters to us or in our second letter that have said that this is how many Bible studies we'd like to have. Some of them, we've had one person ask for 100 Bible studies and from 15 to 30 to 45, it looks like. And with the first courses that we have sent out, it was a hard thing getting the material in, and that's another thing I need to mention too. Pray for the materials that are coming in. And there was a new rule that came into effect in January with the Russian Orthodox priests wanting to have control of everything. They are getting themselves into every facet of government, every office in government. They are getting their representatives in there so they could have their voice heard. So they're becoming very, very political in their stance. So they had a new bill that passed for materials that are coming in country that they have to inspect everything, and they were checking everything for fascist material that is coming in. This last bunch that we got in, Natasha told me that we had to deal with the head man rather than the middleman, as we did in the last two shipments. He was kind of hem-hawing around saying, you know, we shouldn't allow this type of material to come into the country, you know, and kind of emphasizing that we may not be able to get very much more material in. So please pray that we'll be able to keep that going. But of the 533 first courses that have returned to us, there has been 70 people that have stated that they've put their trust in Christ. A lot of people are putting date or just yes down, or da. That's one of the few words that I know in Russian. Putting da and without a date, and then down at the bottom saying, oh, we've known Christ since birth, and other people not just saying anything, so we're trying to clarify with them when we take the second course to them that, no, that's not something that you automatically gain once you are enter into life. So hopefully then with the second study that they will, their eyes will be open. But God is blessing that ministry, so we praise the Lord for that. We thank you for your financial and prayer support that has helped provide those for us. Along with my depression and seeing the verses, I really, really wasn't prepared today to speak because initially I was told that tomorrow would be my day. And then I just happened to ask Brother Kincaid that I am speaking on Monday. And he said, no, you're speaking tonight. So I was sitting going through verses and I the thought that here I am a watchman and we all are considered really watchmen and that we are ambassadors for Christ and we need to, as Ezekiel said, I call you to be a watchman, speak the words that I tell you. In Isaiah, he said, I've called you, set up watchmen to declare what they have seen. And it's not really that hard to do. All of us can do that. We read God's word, he speaks to us through it, we tell somebody. We see God move mightily in the scripture, we tell what we've seen. We see God moving in our individual lives. We tell people what God has done. And it's not really that hard. We're the ones that make it hard. We're the ones that complicate the matters. And I know it's been a really, really tough year. And as, what was it? Psalm 37, just after verse 23. It's been very tough. A lot of depression. Satan has been really, really working at, not giving any let up, just keeping us under the thumb. And Psalm 37, verse 24, I was just turning to, I just read that after Sister was reading verse 23, and I was reading around it, and in verse 24, it just was a blessing. He said, though he fall, he shall not utterly cast down, it shall not be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And the encouragement of knowing that we all are in God's hand. Though we may not always be obedient to tell what we have heard from God, to declare what we have seen from God, confessing it and getting up and then walking again, because we're still in his hands no matter what. So I thank God for the ministry in Russia, for the little that we have going on with individual Bible studies and discipleship and for the correspondence call. We praise God for what He's doing there, and we praise God for your prayers, and I hope through this you've gotten a little more of an understanding of what is going on in Russia, so hopefully then you can pray a little bit more intelligently for the needs of Russia. So thank you.